Just a heads up, the Razzball Football Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some acute orgasm.
It's a Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour. We'll make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Football Podcast. I'm Nick Capozzi, your host, and I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Mr. J.B. Gilpin. J.B., how are you today?
I'm good, man. It was good good watching football again. Hopefully you weren't traveling over the great states of Utah and the Midwest while the games are going on this week.
No, it was actually perfect. I got home late at Saturday night, early Sunday morning. So I got up with my lovely daughter, and she was happy to watch football with Daddy all day. So it was a perfect day. And I don't remember the last time I watched so much football. So it was great.
Awesome, awesome. I'm 2-0 in the RCL, Razzball Commenter League, and the Razzball Riders League. So number 2 in both leagues. So
yep.
Doing good.
All right. You want to pat yourself on the back? You want to give a little sound effect for cheering yourself or something?
I have a very large back to pat, so I will do it as often as possible.
Sounds good. Yeah, I had a good week too myself. After a 0-4 start in the four leagues I'm in, I went 3-1 this week. So that was good. And a lot of the guys that I've been stumping all year also had great weeks. So I'm happy about that. Also, I believe you and I had a little side wager this week on Peyton Hillis versus Jonathan Dwyer. Is that correct?
Yeah, I saw that. And it's kind of like Hillis has a below average game and Dwyer has a below average game. And if someone lost because of those 2 points of difference, then, you know, hey, I'll take the blame for that. But it's not like either one did good.
You know, when you lose, JB, it's customary to be a gentleman about it. But
I am neither a gentleman nor a loser, so I will fight my way out of every bet I lose as best I can.
No, I'm just kidding. That was a close one, and I'm sure we'll have some disagreements today, so we'll see where everything fleshes out. Of course, if you're listening to this, you probably downloaded it at iTunes under Razzball Football, but if you're visiting us at razzball.com, be sure to check in daily. We've got all kinds of good stuff there. There are a ton of writers on the roster this year, so we're bringing you fantasy from all kinds of different angles. JB, guess what?
What's that?
There's more football this week.
I know, it's exciting. And hey, you know, I'm not going to lie, I don't have Dish Network, so I don't have the NFL Network, but because I am in Panthers territory, I will get to watch the Thursday night game on local broadcast, so I'm excited.
Oh, that's interesting. See, up here in Canada, we get all the games, but myself personally, I have NFL Red Zone, so that's my go-to on Sundays.
Yep.
That's the beauty of not having a team, of just being able to follow, is you can get absorbed into Red Zone, especially if you love fantasy. So it works out well for me.
Yeah, even though I am a fan of the Panthers, I'm just as big a fan of fantasy. So every slate of games, I'm watching them all.
So what, you're not going to the game in Charlotte?
No, I live in Raleigh. It's a good 2.5 hours outside of Charlotte. So
you're in the Triangle.
I have not been to a Panthers game in about a year.
You're in the Triangle with the educated masses.
Yes, I don't fit in with them because I am kind of a little out there, but you know, it works out. It's nice up here.
All right, that's okay. We still like you anyway. All right, let's start talking about some football games. As we've been doing every week so far, we're going to take you through the games that are upcoming this week, and we're going to point out some interesting matchups and some characters to keep an eye out, along with a couple of occasional sleepers. First game we have, of course, is the Thursday night game. It is the New York Giants at Big Carolina, also known as JB's Carolina Panthers. JB, what do you think? This is probably, I'm going to go out on a limb and assume this is probably going to be a shootout this week. You concur with that?
Yeah, it sure looks like it. The Panthers, the defense played well against the Saints last week. The only real success the Saints had was on the ground and in screen passes. And it really affirms that I think the Carolina secondary is a lot better than people expected coming into the year. But that said, Eli Manning and those receivers, Nix and Cruz, they're going to make it happen. This is going to be a real fun game.
And I think you actually have to consider bring Martellus Bennett into that same conversation because he's got butterfingers, but he's a big body and he can go up and get it. So he's interesting in that offense.
He does. He needs some of that glue that the guy used in The Replacement to put on his gloves. I don't know if you saw that movie, The Replacements. It was terrible, but yeah, that's about the one thing I remember from it.
Yeah, a little bit of stickum. I think the big thing to watch this week is going to be Ahmad Bradshaw's likely out with a neck injury. They're calling it a sprained neck. As far as I'm concerned, if your neck is sprained, I got a feeling you might miss more than one game. But let's assume we're just speaking for this week. Obviously, David Wilson right now does not look like the answer. You were right to be down on him. I think it's still early and he might play a role, but Andre Brown out of nowhere, and I think it's fair to say out of nowhere because he's been cut by multiple teams, and he was fantastic last week. So what do you think about Andre Brown's role this week?
I think that he is worth a flex play if you have no other good options. Here we go with another crazy Chris Johnson, statement, but I'd rather play him this week than Chris Johnson. What do you think of that?
That's not crazy. Chris Johnson, as far as I'm concerned, is done. And maybe he'll come back at some point down the road, but that's the problem with these speed rushers is, as soon as you lose, a fraction of a second of speed or your offensive line downgrades, you're not the same player. So, yeah.
And we'll talk more about Chris Johnson a little later. But I think Andre Brown's going to have a real interesting role. Here's another section of my back. It's getting padded over here for being down on David Wilson while pretty much everyone else was crazy for this guy. But the Panthers have had problems with the run. Doug Martin had a really good week one against them. Sproles out of the backfield and both Pierre Thomas and Mark Ingram looked pretty good. I think Brown's going to have a real interesting game here and is worth a low-end running back 3-year flex role.
And what about Jay Stew and D'Angelo Williams? Are they flex plays this week?
Yeah, I think they're probably the same range as Andre Brown, to be honest. Both, when they're both in the backfield, they looked a lot better. Our running game looked so much better than it did against Tampa Bay. Stewart really helps relieve some of the pressure. They can get some of the passes out of the backfield. I think Williams needs some of that help. So, it helps open up the gaps up the middle and keeps things fresh for their running game. Either one could score. Both did score last week. So I think they're both low-end flex plays if you don't have better options.
Right. Brandon LaFell, of course, is someone you want to watch also. He's emerging. But let me ask you about this. Greg Olsen, I know, got a lot of buzz during the preseason with Shockey gone. There was a lot of talk that he might get those extra catches. And he hasn't been great thus far. Let me ask you this. I actually probably going to drop him in a league because I've got Kevin Rudolph, who I feel I can substitute, and I'd love to have the bench spot. You think that's a good idea?
Yeah, I agree with that. Rudolph is probably going to be more involved in Minnesota's offense. Olsen is going to have big games here and there. The thing with the Panthers is they're just really good at spreading the ball around. Even Mike Tolbert had a good week. LaFell and Smith had good weeks as wide receivers. A really, really deep sleeper that you're probably not starting in any league, but just kind of a comment on the side, is I think Lewis Murphy might have an interesting game here. We saw what Ogletree did as the wide receiver 3 for Dallas again. Against the Giants in that opener. I think he might have a chance at a big play. He had a big catch in week one, didn't have any catches last week, but I think he could have an interesting game here.
All right, let's keep moving into the next game, San Francisco at Minnesota, starting our 1 o'clock games for this Sunday. 49ers have looked fantastic. And, I think a few people are just assuming that Minnesota is not as good as I'm all over the place today. I'm still on California time. I think a lot of people are down on Minnesota this year. You think the 49ers are going to roll? Because I think Minnesota might actually put up a bit of a fight here.
I think the 49ers are going to roll this one. I don't think it's going to be that close. I know your boyfriend plays on the Vikings, but and I know you're still on mustache time. But I think this is the 49ers game to win. You know, talking about their backs, I kind of like Kendall Hunter in this matchup. Frank Gore is obviously the first running back there, but they want to limit his carries. They want to keep him fresh for the postseason. I think, like I said, this is going to be a little bit more of a blowout than you think. I think Hunter gets a lot of second-half work, and he's in that same Andre Brown, Carolina running backs, low-end flex player ranking for me.
All right, what's your take at this point right now on Randy Moss? He wasn't there hasn't been much production thus far. I know, you know, you could say, hey, he's going back to the Metrodome, maybe there's a big game there, but I don't think he's startable under any circumstance.
I think he could be startable. I actually had to start him in my ResBall commenter league. You know, it's 12 team, and I lost Pierre Garçon, and I said that really French for you.
You did great. I was impressed with that.
I think he could sneak a touchdown in this one. I'm not happy playing him with him. Wow, that sounded kind of – never mind. I'm not happy playing him, but I think he could get a touchdown. And I don't think he's going to get many catches. I don't think he'll get more than 50 or 60 yards, but I think it'd be really – I think they're going to scheme to try to get him a touchdown in this game.
Okay, interesting. We'll keep an eye on that. And I know he hasn't cracked the top five yet, but Percy Harvin has had a great start to the season. I told you he could be elite this year.
Yeah, and you know, he had 12 catches last week. He's number six if you count full point PPR. So, and, you know, non-PPR, he's going to be a little further down, but – he's close. He's making you look good so far.
All right, good stuff. Next up on the list is the Jacksonville Jaguars at Indianapolis Colts. No catches for Blackman last week. Laurent Robinson leads the team in catches with 8. You going to start anyone there other than MJD for the Jaguars?
Not at all. Like you said, Laurent Robinson, when your leading receiver has
Hold on. It's French. It's Laurent.
Oh, Laurent. yeah, there's just no one in that passing game you want to play.
Okay, fair enough. Now, speaking of bad departments, how about the or bad units, how about those Indianapolis running backs?
Yeah, you know, Donald Brown's a slow start, but he's still getting all the work. You know, he had 16 carries last week to his backup, Vic Ballard, who I literally know nothing about, I'll be honest. You know, Ballard had 6 carries for 13 yards, so it's not like they have anyone else. Brown's going to get the work. I still think it's his backfield. We saw the Texans just absolutely roll over Jacksonville in the run game last week. I'm sticking with Brown as a good running back, number 2. I think he's going to have a solid week this week.
And a good start for Reggie Wayne. You think he's going to keep it up this year?
I do. I don't think he's going to be a top 10 receiver like he's playing right now. It has only been 2 weeks. But, you know, Donnie Avery emerging a little bit, going to get a little pressure off Wayne. You still have to worry about Kobe Fleener, who I don't think is a great fantasy option, but is still someone you have to scheme for on the defense. I think that's going to keep the pressure off Wayne. They're going to get Colley back as well at some point, hopefully with his concussion problems. So I think he's going to be a good top 15, top 20 receiver by the end of the year. Where you drafted him, that's great value.
All right, good stuff. I'll throw this out there. I think Fleener has a chance, maybe second half of the season, to emerge. The problem is there's so many quality tight ends on the market right now. Actually, here's some breaking news. It looks like the New England Patriots are going to sign Kellen Winslow, so another tight end on the market. But we'll talk about their tight end woes once we get to that game. Next up, St. Louis Rams at Chicago Bears. You like Sam Bradford so far?
I do. I like what I've seen, like what I'm seeing. Danny Amendola, what a game for him last week. I mean, Wes Welker 2.0, you know, he just had a huge game. Tons of catches, tons of yards and a touchdown. I think it was 15 for 160 and a touch. So I think Danny Amendola is slotting into the top 20 of wide receivers. I mean, what do you think about that?
That's a bit high for me because I just don't think he's good. I know, actually, here's an interesting stat. A couple of years ago, he was one of the leaders in red zone targets, but I just don't see it on that team, him getting the kind of touchdowns that are going to add the points up to make him give him that kind of value.
Yeah, and I am in one PPR league and three half-point PPR leagues, so maybe I'm a little stilted on the way I see the rankings of players. So maybe in non-PPR, I wouldn't put him quite that high up. But in PPR, I think he's got to be in at least in the teens.
All right, here's a prediction for you. I think Chris Long and that St. Louis defensive line is going to knock Jay Cutler around all game long. What do you think about that?
I agree, man. Oh, Jay Cutler just got rolled on Thursday Night Football against the Packers. 7 sacks, 4 interceptions. Just terrible, terrible day for him. So I could see another week where it's really rough. I don't think you can start him. If you drafted Jay Cutler as your starter, you probably have a good backup. Hopefully you drafted someone like RG3 and you can start him. So going back to the Rams real quick, you know, Steven Jackson had the slight groin issue. It looks like he's going to be okay, but I think Daryl Richardson's an interesting pickup because Jackson has had groin issues in the past. I actually owned him in a lot of leagues that year where he had groin issue and was questionable week after week. So especially if you own Jackson, for sure you need to get Richardson. If you don't, he's still an interesting pickup because that could linger.
Speaking of banged up running backs, Matt Forte is questionable right now with the ankle injury. You start Michael Bush this week?
If Forte's out, for sure. If Forte's in, I probably won't. I know he's the goal line back. I think that's a little bit of an overrated label for someone if they're technically the backup or change of pace back. But if Forte's gone, Bush is going to get almost all the work. I think he's worth a play.
Interesting. And what do you suggest we're going to see from Brandon Marshall this week? Because I'm not that high on him, especially if, again, that line is all over Cutler.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, the Rams secondary has played pretty well. They limited Stafford. They somewhat limited RG3 in the passing game. You know, RG3 still had the rushing yards. But I think Marshall comes back to, you know, low end wide receiver number one, high end wide receiver number two this week, maybe 80-ish yards and a touchdown. I like him more than you do.
All right, fair enough. Next game up is the Buffalo Bills at Cleveland Browns, which could get ugly, if for no other reason that I've called C.J. Spiller all offseason long. I love C.J. Spiller, and in a dynasty league, I actually traded him right before the season started. What a beast. What is his role going to be when Fred Jackson comes back? I know it's too early to, you know, to really have a serious discussion about that. And you want to ride him while he's hot, obviously. But do you think that there's a chance he's just wrestled the role away from Jackson at this point?
You know, I really do. And real quick, this is, I'm patting your back now.
Hey.
Reaching over. There's so many backs to be patted. That sounds like some sort of rap lyric. I don't know. But I think Spiller is going to hold on to that role. You know, he's not getting as many touches as you would expect for someone that's getting, you know, his yardage. His yards per carry are just absolutely preposterous. You know, he's getting the catches, but it's not like he's getting the 20 rush kind of games. I think he's just been in the double digits around 12 or 15 the first 2 weeks. So let's see. Week one, he had I'm having internet issues. He had 15 for 123. So, you know, even when Fred Jackson comes back, it's just going to help his load a little bit. But I think Spiller's still in Jamal Charles territory from 2 years ago.
All right. Speaking of which, Ryan Fitzpatrick still getting his numbers blowout or no blowout. Is he a starter for you?
It depends on who you have. Here's one for you. I'd play him over Jay Cutler. What do you think about that one? I mean,
absolutely. I actually like Fitzpatrick quite a bit.
I do too. And like you said, you know, he's got the 3 touchdowns in week one, even though it was a blowout against them. And then he got 2 last week, even though they had the blowout on their end. So I think he's worth a real low end QB1 in a 2 QB league. You're probably playing him. So I think he's going to have another good week here at Cleveland.
All right, sounds good. All right, now let's get this show hyped up. Let's talk some hype with one of the most hyped rookies in a long time, Trent Richardson. And you know what? He brought the hype last week.
Yeah, he did, and people are starting to go crazy. I'm not going to go crazy, but I think he's an every week starter. I think you pretty much have to.
Oh, no question in my mind.
Yeah, maybe it's weird for me because I was a little bit down on him. He had the knee injury. The offense just did not look very good. But he's going to make it count when it does. I think he's obviously going to be the goal line back, which I know isn't a big deal. But when you're getting every carry, you're getting all the work on third downs, I think he's going to work his way into maybe the 12th best running back this year or something like that.
All right. Anyone else worth owning on the Cleveland side?
No, I don't think so. Greg Little and Muhammad Massaquoi, two North Carolina products there. Greg Little went to UNC and Massaquoi went to high school in Charlotte at Independence. They both had decent games, but you're not starting any of them.
All right, fair enough. Next up, the slinging Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Dallas Cowboys, who have that great coverage now with the offseason additions they made. Interesting watching Tampa going from a grinding team to a pass-friendly team. But there was wide receiver value all over the place, and I'll let you talk about Vincent Jackson, but I do want to say I did like Mike Williams a lot coming into the year, and the reason was that his numbers, minus the touchdowns, were very similar from his rookie year to what he did last year. The big difference was the whole offense regressed, so I think he was, off the top of my head, I think six touchdowns short. So he went from being an up-and-comer to a guy that wasn't getting a lot of hype. So I'd like to hear what you want to say about Vincent Jackson, but I'd also like you to tell me what you think about Mike Williams going forward.
I agree with you. I drafted Mike Williams in the last round in a couple drafts. You pretty much didn't need to draft him this year. I mean, talk about falling. He was what, 6th, 7th round pick last year wasn't terrible. It didn't completely disappear, but people just really got off that bandwagon. Vincent Jackson's still the wide receiver one there. I think that's only going to help Mike Williams get back to what he did his rookie year. I think they're Jackson's obviously an every week start. Williams, I think, will be a bye week fill in and a good one at that as we get to the bye weeks in a few weeks here. So I like them both.
Fair enough. Now, let me ask you another question. We just talked about Trent Richardson. Who would you rather start for the rest of the season, Trent Richardson or Doug Martin?
You know, that I actually was going to pose that same question to you while we were talking about Tampa Bay. Doug Martin's looked really good. He's really consistent. That offense is better. You know, 66 yards and a touchdown last week, even though they were slinging it with the Giants. They're both every week starters. Man, that's just a real toss-up because on one hand, I think Richardson's the more talented back. He's going to get more catches. On the other hand, Doug Martin's on the better offense and will be a little bit more consistent. Gun to my head, I say Richardson does a little bit better, but I think they're going to be right next to each other at the end of the year.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with all that. I just think, though, there is still a higher upside for Trent Richardson. So, but you're right, they are in a better offense in Tampa Bay. Okay, let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys, and I don't really want to because all their guys make me crazy. I was stumping the Seattle defense all year long, so I think, just nationally people are starting to realize how good the Seattle defense is. But what's going on with the Cowboys? You owning any of those guys? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to sell those guys? Because I don't want them. I don't want any of them anywhere near me.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really tough, especially coming off the game that they showed this last week at Seattle. It's going to be really tough to sell any of these guys. I think you just got to stick with them, hope they get back on track. It's going to be a headache. I fortunately own very few Cowboys. However, in one league, I do have Romo and DeMarco Murray. And I, of course, that was the one league I lost in this week. So I think you're holding on to them. I do like DeMarco Murray for the rest of the year. I think because they got down and down quickly and couldn't keep up in the game, Murray got kind of lost. He's my favorite, most consistent option in that offense. But I think you just got to start him. You got to start Romo. You got to start Murray. You got to start Austin and Bryant. You know, Kevin Ogletree, after the huge week one, everyone goes crazy. Only one catch this last week. I think he was kind of a one-week wonder. I think he'll have another big game here and there, but not going to be a consistent player. And he can be droppable if someone else is out there.
All right, so let me ask you a question then. In that league you were talking about, you're starting Romo and Murray at the same time?
Yes.
That's interesting. I always try to avoid starting. I don't mind having a quarterback and wide receiver combo, but I try to avoid having a running back and quarterback from the same team, if at all possible.
Interesting. Why do you think you would do that?
Well, if they run into a good defense or into weather, or I find it's very difficult to recover from a key running back that you're starting and your quarterback having a bad day.
Yeah, and see, the flip side of that coin, I like to do that sometimes. I mean, I never plan for it. I always draft the best available players. And in that draft, DeMarco Murray fell to the early second round after I got Calvin Johnson in the first round. I thought he was a great pick there. And then I got Romo in the 6th or 7th. And in my opinion, if the team is down, that means Romo's going to be passing. And if the team is up, it means Murray's going to be running. And if it's a close game, then both are going to do fine. So obviously it didn't work this week, and your strategy proves to be the winner. But I don't mind doing it personally.
I would rather have a guy that I know is going to give me X amount of points versus the up and down players, which is why, all right, this is a bad example because of current injuries, but I'd rather have a Macklin than a Deshaun Stevenson in that same offense, you know? So that's just how I like to do it, but what do I know?
Well, I think Deshaun Stevenson is a basketball player, and I don't follow NBA that much anymore.
Oh, sorry, Deshaun Jackson. All right, let's talk about the New York Jets at Miami Dolphins. This one could get ugly. Sean Green was terrible last week, came out for a little bit. Are you starting him even as a possible flex?
I think I would. I keep using this as my reference point, but I think he's right there in the territory of Andre Brown of the Giants, the Panthers running backs. He's kind of in that mix of he could give you points and he is going to get work, and that's who someone you want as a flex play. He's at the low end of the flex plays, but I think he should be playing this week. You got to keep tabs on his injury going in to see if he's going to be out. Bilal Powell didn't look that great, I don't think. I don't think he's going to be a good replacement. If you have to start him, I wouldn't worry about that. So,
I would rather have every running back you mentioned there ahead of Sean Green. Not a fan of Sean Green.
Yeah, and I don't blame you for that. So,
hey, let's talk about another Sean. Sean Hill. That was quite the drop off from week one.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's another Sean worth talking about on the Jets. that guy that got two touchdowns and then disappeared. I told you he's going to be a 1 week wonder.
All right, let's talk about possibly the only guy worth owning on the Miami Dolphins, Reggie Bush. What's going on?
Yeah, just resurrecting his career in Miami, you know, getting out of the Saints offense where he was used in kind of the Sproles role and wasn't as good fit for it as obviously Sproles is. We've seen Sproles explode. It's just really surprising just how good and how consistent he's been since the second half when he really just kind of took off. He's going to be a top 10 running back this year.
All right. Next up, we have the Kansas City Chiefs at New Orleans Saints. We won't talk about Peyton Hillis. We already brought him up. Although I will say, I still think there's a chance that he could be a pretty decent play this year. Although if Kansas City winds up being as bad as they look, I might have to change that forecast. But let's talk about his backfield running mate, Jamaal Charles. Re-injures his knee. Sounds like he could have gone back in. Is he even a flex play this week for you?
If he's active, I keep using the same reference point. I think he's in that same mix because he could really easily ding that knee again and have another outing where it's, you know, six rushes for 3 yards like last week, and then he's gone all of a sudden. So he's one of those guys that's a huge lottery ticket. You don't know if he can handle the whole game again, at least for this week. That is, I want to see it before I trust him again. But he's, you know, 170-yard rush away from being a top 10 running back that week. And it's hard to bench a guy like that. What are you thinking on him?
You know what? Again, it goes back to, I mentioned Chris Johnson before, speed rushers, if I can, I avoid them. And I know football's changing a bit, especially with all these spread offenses that we're seeing. You're seeing more speed guys, but I would still rather have someone that looks like Maurice Jones-Drew or Trent Richardson than someone that looks like Chris Johnson or Jamaal Charles. But that's just, you know, my preference.
Yeah, and I agree with you. The difference for me between, you know, those kind of, as Jamaal Charles has shown even in week one this year, coming back from the knee injury, that he can be an effective running back. So that's why he's still in the mix of probably being a starter, but you're going to feel really bad if he comes out of the first quarter again.
Let me ask you another question. Dwayne Bowe had one of his patented, I have three great games in a season last week against Buffalo. Time to trade him while you can?
If someone is buying and you can get a good value, say you need another position or, you know, Jay Cutler's your starting quarterback and you want to trade for another one or something like that, I don't mind it. But I don't think anyone's really going to bite. We've seen this from Dwayne Bowe time and time again. You know, I wish I could have three good weeks a year and then be called a great player. But no, it doesn't work that way for us. So if anyone's biting, yeah, I think he's worth testing the market.
All right. Now, the Saints are off to an 0-2 start. They're just not stretching the field. Sproles had a huge game versus the Panthers, but they don't have much in terms of downfield threat right now. What do you think about Drew Brees for the rest of the season? And also, to that point, are you concerned about Marcus Colston?
You know, we talked about Brees last week, and you gave me a good ribbon for it for saying I think he's going to be a little bit of a bust. I mean, I think he's going to still be a good quarterback. I don't think he's going to disappear into, you know, Chris Johnson drafted in the first round to almost droppable territory. It's nothing like that, but I think he's going to have kind of a tough year. I'm really worried about Colston. The Saints just could not stretch the field against the Panthers. They just didn't have any offensive game down there. You know, I hate to say it, but do you think Robert Meacham is a reason for this? I know Devery Henderson was hurt last week too. I just don't see them stretching the field the way they used to, and that's why I'm worried about Brees.
I just think they're out of sync. I'll be honest, I'm really kind of perplexed. I need to see another game or two before I start making any long-term judgments on that offense. However, I think I would say this. If someone made me a good offer right now and was offering me, is particularly Breeze at, you know, 75 cents on the dollar, I might bite at that. All right, next game. Sorry. Next game up is the Cincinnati Bengals at Washington Redskins. What do you think about Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis? Another solid game. You starting him every week?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's as solid as a running back, too, as it gets. Some back here again, drafted him. I just thought he was going to really get a good lion's share of the work there, and he has. Bernard Scott, I know he's been hurt, but he never has shown that he could do much. This is the law firm's backfield. Love him.
All right, interesting. Let's go right to the Redskins, just in the interest of time. RG3 has been fantastic, and since his defense hasn't been very good the last 2 weeks, you live in RG3 this week?
I am, and I wrote in my Last Second Decisions article that is posted every Sunday morning that I thought RG3 was a bench last week. He proved me wrong, that's for sure. Like you said, Cincinnati's defense, I don't know what's going on. They were great last year, but have not looked good. Got rolled by the Ravens. Cleveland looked like an NFL team out of nowhere last week. So love RG3. I think you have to start Alfred Morris now. So you got to start your Washington weapons.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I'll just say this. I am enamored with RG3. The only thing that concerns me, and I watched a lot of the game against St. Louis and his first game, the runs. And I know he runs differently than Michael Vick, but it still scares me when you have a quarterback built like that. He's not built like Cam Newton, taking those long runs. So I am all over him. I own him in a key dynasty league I'm in, which makes me very happy. But his long-term health is definitely a concern for me.
Yeah, yeah, and I agree with you there. He's not the same. He's even smaller than Michael Vick, I'm pretty sure. I mean, at least it looks it when I watch him on tape. So I agree with you.
All right, let's go quickly through Detroit at Tennessee. Stafford, not a great game. You called that.
Woo! I told you it's a big back.
All right, so are you worried about Stafford? I mean, really, like, I know you're down on him, but are you even more concerned about him at this point?
You know, last week was the 49ers. I'm not more so than I was before. I said he was about a fourth-round pick for me. I'm sticking by that since everyone was picking them. And I saw some in the late first round, some mostly second round. I think he's going to be that level of bust. I think he'll be okay at Tennessee. Tennessee hasn't shown that they can really stop the pass. But, you know, he's lower-end quarterback of the top 10 now.
All right. And I'm going to make one call. Mikel LeShore is coming back this week. I don't know if he's going to start. I will say this. I think he is a deep sleeper this week, and I would – and in fact, I might start him as a flex play. I just think – I know we haven't seen him yet, but he's a big, powerful guy, and I think that's part of what that offense needs. So I think that if he gets any kind of run – going, I think we could actually see a lot of Mikel LeShore just to help the passing game. Just quickly to the Tennessee Titans, just a yes or no. Is there anyone worth owning on that team right now?
No. Hey, how about our call Malcolm Floyd over Chris Johnson and multiplied Johnson's points by about 5 times. So that was a good call by us.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah, well, we're pretty smart. We've got big backs to pat. We gotta pat them.
Next up, we get into the 4 o'clock games, Atlanta at San Diego. Michael Turner gets busted for DWI. You think that he's going to play this week?
Yeah, I think it'll be fine. We've seen athletes get over DWIs, no problems. So Okay. I mean, it's the way of the world. But, you know, I'm not going to hold that against him. Everyone has, you know, a bad moment in their life. I think he'll play and he'll be fine.
All right. And Julio Jones, bit of a disappointing game. Roddy White, is he the wide receiver to start the rest of the season? I know Julio has the better long-term upside, but who would you start if you had to?
If I had to, it's Roddy White for me. He's the consistent wide receiver. Julio Jones is going to have the bigger games, probably 5 or 6 games, and they're going to be huge games. But Roddy White has been a model of consistency at the wide receiver position. I prefer that.
All right. Ryan Matthews set to return. I need to see him play. I don't like a guy with a collarbone injury, especially when he's a running back. But I think the more important question is, let's just assume for now that Gates isn't back because he shocked us all last week. Do you want anyone in that Chargers offense next week?
Matthews, you know, I do like Malcolm Floyd a lot. I think he's really was undervalued. He has shown some great moments with Rivers in the past. He's had injury problems, sure, but right now he's putting up good numbers. I think I like him as a good low-end wide receiver starter, maybe number two or so.
All right, next up, break up the 2-0 teams. Look out, it's your NFC Championship game preview, Philadelphia at Arizona. I say that a little tongue-in-cheek. However, I love Arizona's defense. The offense is I won't even say what the offense is, but it's bad. But let's talk about, you know what? I'm going to be honest here. And I think everyone's starting to come around a little bit on Arizona. I still think nationally, a lot of people think that the win was a bit fluky against New England. I don't want to start any, other than LeSean McCoy, and even that, I don't think he'll have a great game. I don't want to start any of the Eagles. Agree? Disagree? Laugh me out of the room?
I'm not going to laugh you out of the room because I was low on Michael Vick last week. I still thought he was a low-end starter for sure. I think you're still starting Vick, and you know me. Every week I talk about how I like DeSean Jackson. You know, had a good game last week, 7 catches over 100 yards. I think you're still starting him this week. Macklin is going to be tough to start because even if he plays, he's going to be questionable. Re-injured his hip last week, had to come out early. I think Macklin's probably a bench, but I like Vick and Jackson a lot more than you do. I think they're for sure starters.
And then, and it's not that I don't like those guys. I'm just talking about the matchup. Now, Vic is my number one quarterback. I'm rolling with him. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have the option, I don't want to start anybody. And on the flip side of the ball, I don't want to start anybody on Arizona's offense. How do the Cardinals go into Foxborough? Fitzgerald has 1 catch for 4 yards and they win. Blows my mind.
Yeah, it's the no figure league for a reason. And I will admit that we both talked about how we were down on Larry Fitzgerald. I was so surprised at how early he was going in drafts with so much good wide receiver depth in the middle rounds. You know, with Kevin Cobb now, the QB, they didn't have a good rapport early last year. Fitzgerald got a lot of his good games with Skelton. Now that it looks like Cobb's going to be the starter with Skelton ailing, are you benching Larry Fitzgerald? I might bench him for Malcolm Floyd this week. I mean, Philly's defense is legit.
You know what? Here's my counter argument, and I hear what you're saying, and I'm with you almost. The problem is, I think that after a game like that, I could see it where, you know, they're trying to force feed him the ball, and there's no other options there. There's nobody. So I could see, you know, an 8-catch, 90-yard game out of Larry Fitzgerald today.
And you know what? I think that helps my argument. There's no one else there, and the Phillies' defense is so good. He's going to get a lot of Asamuga, a lot of double teams. I don't think Fitzgerald is a good play this week.
Tell you what, I'm starting Philly defense with a smile. Okay, next,
that's for sure.
Next up, Pittsburgh at Oakland. This is going to be an interesting game because I don't know what to make of the Raiders. I thought their defense might be better than I think I may have overvalued their defense. I think it might be a big day for the Steelers. Are you benching anybody for the Steelers this week?
I think you're benching both running backs. I think you still have Big Ben and both receivers, but the running backs just look terrible. I was wrong on Dwyer in my last second decisions. I thought he'd have a pretty nice flex game last week. He didn't. I think Rashard Mendenhall, he's an interesting target. He's probably owned in every league, or if he's not, you're definitely picking him up because just of how bad these running backs have been. And when Mendenhall gets his shot in the second half, I think he's going to take over that backfield. And I'm right there with you with Oakland's defense. I picked him up in 3 of my 4 leagues, and they got me negative points. Man, that was brutal.
And just give me a quick assessment on Darren McFadden.
I think he was a little overvalued coming into the year, but he is obviously their best offensive weapon. I think you're still starting him this week, even though it's a tough matchup. He's going to get some targets out of the backfield. He'll still get his runs. You got to just roll with him this week, even though it's going to be a tough start.
All right, next up is the mighty Houston defense at Denver. And I say that because after the performance on Monday Night Football, I don't know who the heck I'd want to start on Denver if I had to. I'll probably start Demaryius Thomas in one of my leagues, but if I can, I'm avoiding as many Broncos as possible, even though they're playing at Mile High.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Peyton Manning, 3 interceptions in the first quarter, early in the first quarter last night. You're probably benching Manning if you have another good quarterback option, but if you don't, you got to try to roll with him. Even though McGahee looked good last night, I'm not starting him against Houston. They're just one of the better defenses in the league. I think Tate and Foster have a big game out of the backfield yet again. I think Houston wins this game actually a little bit comfortably. I like Houston a lot in this game.
Yeah, so do I, and I'm curious to see how Gary Kubiak uses his two running backs in Denver, because last week it was quite the two-headed monster show.
Yeah, no, it was, and it was interesting because Foster got the first few carries, then Tate got a lot of work, and then Foster kind of closed the door with kind of a Foster-Tate sandwich, and I could see him doing it like that because then you've got your best running back fresh at the end of the game, and I think in this game they might need that. I wouldn't be surprised to see him use him again like that this week.
All right, beauty. Next up is the Sunday night game, the New England Patriots at Baltimore, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really concerned about New England. Now, watch them come back and make me look foolish. But I think losing Aaron Hernandez was a big injury. I know it makes your Gronkowski over Jimmy Graham argument look better. And it looks like the Patriots are about to sign Kellen Winslow to fill that role. You know what? I just saw a lot of things wrong with that offense. So I'm really curious more for longer-term strategizing to see how they perform against Baltimore this week.
You know, I'm interested in that, too. I feel like the first 2 weeks we saw a lot of Stephen Ridley and we saw a little bit more of a conservative game plan than we've seen from the Patriots the past 10 or so years. You know, not as much spread, not as much Wes Welker. I have a feeling Belichick's going to sit down Josh McDaniel and be like, hey, dude, OK, we're a better team than this. We're spreading the ball out. We're passing the ball. I have a feeling New England rebounds in a big way this week. I love all the offensive targets. I think Welker has done his biggest game of the year. I think Lloyd has hit his biggest game of the year. Same with Gronkowski. I think they really open up that passing offense again.
All right, you starting Ridley against Baltimore?
I think you have to, just because Ridley is the guy, even though Vereen might be coming back, but he's still kind of questionable out there. He's getting all the carries. He's getting a couple catches out of the backfield. I think you're still starting him, but I'm a little bit less bullish on him than I was the first 2 weeks.
Last question on this game. Are you concerned yet with Torrey Smith?
You know, I'm not really. We've seen Dennis Pitta just tear apart defenses over the middle, and I think that's because they're scheming for Smith and Bolden on the outside. I think New England's going to have to look at what the Ravens are doing. They're going to have to see that Pitta's becoming a huge focal point of that offense and kind of relieve what they're probably going to scheme for Smith. You know, Smith only has 4 catches, but both weeks he's had a big one. I'm still starting him this week, and I'm having no problems with it.
Actually, one more quick question. What's your assessment of the Wes Welker situation in New England?
I think it got overhyped. I think week one, New England just rolled over Tennessee. We saw a lot of Stephen Ridley. We saw a lot of the tight ends. And I think it was just kind of what happened in that game. We saw more of Welker with Aaron Hernandez coming out last week. And he kind of I think he's going to get really reintegrated in this game. I think we're going to see one of his big weeks. If you could buy low, or if you still can buy low on Wes Welker, I would.
Okay. The last game this week is the Monday nighter, the Green Bay Packers at Seattle Seahawks, Monday night, 8:30. Seattle just dismantled Dallas last year on defense. And again, I really like this defense. They're really fast. They punish you. I'm curious to see how Green Bay's offense matches up against them.
Yeah, I think this is going to be an actually really interesting close game. And a lot of people aren't going to really assume that. But, you know, Greg Jennings, he might be back with a groin injury. He's still questionable. Randall Cobb has shown he's just not reliable. I think Jordy Nelson's the only wide receiver you're going to feel really good about starting in this game, which is kind of weird to think about. But I think Green Bay does win this game, but it's going to be a lot closer than people would imagine, like we were both saying.
All right. And who would you start on the other side of the ball for the Seahawks this week?
I think it's Marshawn Lynch and no one else. Russell Wilson did play better last week when they beat the Cowboys, but man, we saw just the Packers just dismantle that Bears line. I mean, I know the Seattle offensive line is better than the Bears are, but we just saw them pressure Cutler all game. I think they're going to bring pressure on the rookie again. I'm a little scared for him.
All right, you know, we'll take a look at that. I'm actually curious. I'm, you know, obviously I've made it clear I'm a big fan of Russell Wilson this year. I think what's interesting is that even though his stats aren't flashy, he's doing exactly what's being asked of him, and that's to go out and manage the game and keep that great defense in games. I think we're going to see more and more of him as the season goes on. So I still think, especially with bye weeks coming up, if he's available and you can stash him on your bench. But I think big things for this young man and his future.
I do too. I think he's a better real life player right now than fantasy.
Yep, fair enough. But I could see, the reason I keep bringing it up, I could see that change quickly. So.
Even if it does, I still don't think he's going to work his way into any of the top 15 rankings for most of the year. That Seattle team is just a great defense and a great run game. They're not going to need to lean on him too hard.
All right, fair enough. Listen, that was another great podcast, JB. Thanks for coming out. We really appreciate it. By the way, don't forget, you can also always follow us at JB Gilpin on Twitter or at Nick Capozzi, NickCapozzi. JB, you got any last thoughts before we head off?
How would I say Nick Capozzi in French?
Nicolas Capozzi.
Capozzi.
Écoute, là, si tu veux, on peut parler en français, mais on va rester en anglais juste pour... je pense que presque tout le monde qui nous écoute, écoute en anglais.
No hablo français.
All right, JB, we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, thanks, man. Good luck this week, and good luck, everyone, in week 3.
Yeah, good luck, everybody. We'll see you next week.
That kick-ass Razzball Football Podcast theme song you're rocking to right now, that's by Symphony of Nine featuring Juice Jones. We'd also like to thank the staff at Glenmore Records for helping us put this together. If you need quality audio recording done in the city of Toronto, check out glenmorerecords.com.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
Razzball, baby.